Six words became one of the most endearing quotes in the career of President George H.W. Bush. Read my lips, no new taxes. And honestly, these words, I really believe, helped Bush defeat Dukakis in 1988 presidential election. But in 1990, Bush agreed to a budget compromise which did increase taxes. David Letterman joked that Bush's catchphrase should be updated to, "Read my lips, I was lying." Well, we know what happened in 1992. Bill Clinton and others reminded the country of Bush's broken promise and his lack of trust. Many suggested that Bush's failure to keep the no new taxes pledge is the primary reason for his defeat. Well, God doesn't tell us to read his lips, but he does tell us to read his word. And there we find God's promises. We see the fulfillment of those promises. Friends, God keeps his word. Politicians don't, but God does. Well, today we want to see how one couple was able to wait on God's promise because they knew that God keeps his word. They knew that God himself and what he says is trustworthy. Now, if you were with us last week in our study, we saw that faith obeys. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, went out, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So there we see that faith obeys. And then we saw as well last week that faith sojourns. And we see that in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So our outline last week was faith obeys and faith sojourns. Friends, someone who's walking by faith looks at life, this life, as a pilgrimage. And faith can do so because it sees its eternal home. And you see that in verse 10. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now this morning, I want to continue basically our outline of what faith does, that faith believes God's promises. Faith obeys, faith sojourns, faith believes God's promises. And we see that in verses 11 and 12. And then our final point this morning will be faith finishes well. And we see that in verses 13 through 16. Point number one, faith believes God's promises. Now, having explained how Abraham's faith worked in relation to the promised land, verse 9 tells us, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. The writer of Hebrews now explains both Abraham and Sarah's faith in obtaining the promised son, the son God had assured them of. And if you'll turn back to Genesis chapter 17, we find what God promised Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 17, verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And the name Sarah means princess. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Verse 19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and will be his seed after him. And so we see the fulfillment of that promise in verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him, she considered him faithful who had promised. The Greek word for the phrase to conceive seed literally means to lay down or to cast seed. And I think we understand what we're saying here. But since only man is created to cast seed, Abraham has to be the subject of the sentence. And so this verse is really saying, literally saying, that by faith, Abraham, together with Sarah, his wife, received power to beget a child when they were past age, because they counted him faithful who had promised. Friends, Abraham and Sarah believed God would give them a son. They believed that. Now, what made this promise so amazing was that it was biologically impossible for Abraham and Sarah at this time to have children. Remember, Abraham was 99 years of age and Sarah was 90. Sarah's personal assessment was, "I'm worn out and my husband's old." Friends, Sarah was not out shopping for diapers or for onesies. And the assertion that Abraham was as good as dead, verse 12, "therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead," is exactly the same Greek rendering in Romans 4:17, where Paul said that Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. At this point in Abraham's life, he was 100, and Sarah's womb again was dead. Think about this. In the face of knowing the human impossibility of them having a son, both Abraham and Sarah weighed the even greater impossibility, the futility of God breaking his promise. And so they decided, because God is God and nothing is too hard for him, and don't we need to keep believing that what is impossible in human terms is not too hard for God? He really is the God of the impossible, and I have seen this reality. I have seen it over and over and over again. God is the God of the impossible. God does keep his word. You can bank on what God says. Because Abraham and Sarah, and it really did take a little while to get there, let's be honest. But once they got there, they became certain of what God said he would do. It's a beautiful day when you and I get to the point, come to the point, when our faith really does believe God. Are you there? Amen. When your faith really does believe God. They saw this promised baby boy in their mind's eyes as clearly as they saw the present. And yes, it took 25 years to get from the promise to the baby. But we rejoice to read in Genesis 21:1 that the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Think about that. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. He gave them a son named what? Isaac. And the name Isaac means one who laughs or one who rejoices. And how this family rejoiced in God's faithfulness. You know, God wants us to have a rejoicing Christianity. Do you know how you can have a rejoicing Christianity? Do you know how you can have an Isaac-like Christianity? By believing God's promises. By believing his word. And so God did fulfill his promise. The promise that we see as well in Genesis chapter 15. And again, I'm being somewhat redundant here, but verses 5 and 6, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be." God promised Abraham not just one son, but many sons. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Romans 4:18 tells us that Abraham did become the father of many nations. And we read in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 11, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the heavens innumerable, and the sand which is by the sea in multitude. Friends, every Jew who has been born or ever will be born is the result of Abraham and Sarah believing God's promises. The nation of Israel today is really a testimony to the world that God keeps his promises. And I say, oh, the power of having faith in God. Miracles happen when we believe God. So often we say, well, I believe in God. Well, you can believe in God, but not believe God. Nothing is impossible when we put our trust in God. And I'm not saying you name it and you claim it. You doubt, you go without. That's not good theology. What I'm saying is we can trust God to keep his word. After all, God must keep his word. If he's God, he must keep his word. He's not God if he doesn't keep his word. I think of Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And so, Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, oftentimes the promises of God are not immediately fulfilled. Amen? I mean, we got to wait a while oftentimes. And why does God ask us to wait or allow us to wait? So that we will learn to trust him more. Our faith in him will grow even more. Our confidence in him will grow. What are some of the many God-given promises that we can claim by faith? I could spend the next 2-3 hours just giving you one promise after another. Well, let me just give you several. How about Isaiah 41:10? Fear thou not. If you know these promises, say them with me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Deuteronomy 31, 8, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Psalm 34, 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34, 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Psalm 37, verse 3 through 5, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. John 6:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have what? Overcome the world. Matthew 28:29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do what? Give you rest. Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be what? Given him. And so we can declare, and this is just a scattering of promises, we can thus claim, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Friends, faith believes the promises of God, and what divine fruit, what amazing, miraculous fruit God gives to us, his children, when we believe that God is. You know, I think sometimes we forget that God is God and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So my question is, as we finish this first point, do you believe the promises of God? Might we be able to sing and to declare, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will what? Shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Are you doing that? Faith in the living God believes the promises of God. Your life will be transformed when you begin to take God at his word. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry, because we do not take everything to God in prayer. If you really believe that God is God, you will know it's to him we can go, this throne of grace. Our second point is faith finishes well. And we find this truth in verses 13 through 16. Notice verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, far from being a lament, this verse really is a positive declaration that these men of faith died in the perfect hope and assurance that what God had promised, he would one day fulfill. Remember, for those who believe God, God's promises are as good as reality. Looking again at verse 13, the phrase, and embrace them, means they saluted them. They saluted the promises of God. They acknowledged, they welcomed the promises of God. Continuing in verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. It was enough for these patriarchs to possess the promised land from a distance, from afar, because their primary concern was for a better country, a heavenly one. That was their focus. Can I tell you, you're going to live every day a discouraged life if your focus is on this earth. You turn on the news and you're going to get discouraged. I think too often we forget this world is not our home. And so in the meantime, they were quite content to be strangers and exiles on the earth. And in the ancient world, strangers were often regarded with hatred, suspicion, and contempt. They had few, if any, rights. And of course, pilgrims were exiles. They were sojourners. And so these heroes of the faith were refugees in their own promised land. But they remained faithful to the end. For they realized that they were just passing through Canaan to a better place. And this assurance enabled them to persevere in faith. Like Job, they could say, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." In Psalm 27:4, David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." And so these heroes of the faith did not need to seek faith on their deathbed. They died in faith. And the result of enduring faith, notice the end of verse 16 of Hebrews 11. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Because these patriarchs believed God, they believed his word, they obeyed his word, because they took God's promises to heart, they were faithful to the end. God declared, "I am not," think about this, "I am not ashamed to be called their God." It's one thing for us to say, "God, you are my God." And what a beautiful thing to be able to say it. But it's quite another when God says, "I am your God." In other words, I'm proud to be able to say, "I am your God." In fact, God later proclaimed to Moses, "I am," present tense, "the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am your God." Friends, there's no higher honor or praise to be said of any mortal. For God says, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Again, because these men honored God, God honored them. God prepared for them an eternal land of promise. Oh, might these examples that we have looked at this morning of faith's obedience, faith's sojourning, faith's believing God's promises, faith finishing well, not be lost on us. I pray for my own life. Lord, help me to finish well. I have friends that I don't think that's how I would want to finish. I want to finish well. I don't want to be disqualified. Paul said he buffeted his body. He kept it under subjection, lest that when he preached, after he preached to others, he himself should be a castaway, disqualified. You want to finish well. Paul reminds us in Philippians 3:20, and this helps me and it should help you to finish well, that our citizenship is also in heaven. And in Ephesians 2:19, that we are no longer in God's eyes strangers and foreigners. We might be in the eyes of the world, but not in God's eyes, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And so as heavenly citizens, we too are rooted in heaven. And by faith, we must take to heart the words of Colossians chapter 3. And I've quoted this passage several times recently. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory." Then God will say of you, God will say of me, "I am the God of Robert Lane. I am the God of," and you put your name in on that blank. Friends, nothing is so honoring to God, pleasing to God, as a life of faith. In fact, nothing honors him but a life of faith. And how then God delights to honor us through his abundant grace. God said of the early church that great grace was upon them all. just after the turn of the century, a pioneer missionary named Henry C. Morrison was returning to New York after 40 years of faithful service in Africa. On that same boat bore home the wildly popular President Theodore Roosevelt. And so as the ship entered New York Harbor, the president was greeted with this huge fanfare. But Morrison felt rather rejected and dejected. After all, he had spent 4 decades in the Lord's service. And so he was saying in his mind, "Where is my adulation? Where is my welcome home? Where are my adoring fans?" But then a small voice came to Morrison saying, "Henry, you're not home yet." You know, sometimes we get discouraged because we feel so all alone. But God says, "You're not home yet." And the voice was ever right, for God hath prepared a city far greater than the Big Apple for Henry Morrison. God says, "Henry, I am your God. And here, Henry, are the keys to the eternal city which I have designed and built for you." And it's then we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." Friends, a life of faith is what pleases God. And might we believe and embrace his promises, for his word will not fail us. He promised, "Believe him and all shall be what? Well." It might not seem well on the outside, but it will be well on the inside. We can believe the promises of God. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the promise you need to believe is, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And if you haven't believed in him, if your faith is not in him, today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. And so might we be men and women and boys and girls of faith. And might God be able to say of you and say of me, "I am your God."